One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Before I read from the 12th chapter, I feel like asking, go to the 4th chapter, please. The 4th chapter, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Let's go over it again now. That's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. Let's back up and get the first verse and explain to you while some go away and never get the blessing. Let us therefore fear. What are we going to be afraid of? Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. In other words, you wouldn't take it. You wouldn't take it. Now, unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Would you let me give a word of my testimony? My schoolmates, many are dead. Many are dead. I'm to stand in my hometown and bring the message in homecoming time. Evidently, the Lord worked it out. But when I stand there, I'll stand as one of the most favored and one of the most blessed country boys, through no merit of my own, because I had no aspirations in that direction at all. I was the less likely of the three roll-off boys to be called to preach. I was the most rebellious of the three. I guess, and no guess to it, the Lord has permitted me to go through a number of the bushes with the thorns protruding and sticking out. He's let me know how to bleed, that I might find out how to bless. And you just have to learn it that way. Seems like there's no other way. And it's human to err, but as the girl said that was fixing to commit suicide that I picked up on the highway, she said it's stupid to continue. I mean, it's just human to do wrong, but it's stupid to keep on doing it. So tonight, I wish you'd let me park just on your heart side. Let me sit next to your heart tonight, and I want to pump some gospel and some sanctified common sense into you. And let's see whose way is the best way. Let's see if the way of life is better than the way of death. And just be honest and open up your heart and your mind and say, now, Lord, you got something for me? I want to mix some faith with this message, and I'm going to believe it. All right? Hebrews chapter 12. Now, we came to the place the last time about chastening. We'll begin reading at verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, I go over it again. When the mother and the father do not correct the children, don't expect them to respect you. They will not respect you. The basis of respect is, number one, respect for God. Second, respect for the man of God. Number three, respect for the parents. Number four, respect for the school teachers. Number five, respect for the law, the officers of the land and the people. There's a complete and total rebellion against all five of those in America tonight. Therefore, another great nation has come unraveled at the seams and is in the end time stages of decay. And young people, there's one great fact you need to look forward to, and that's being right with the Lord and being ready to meet him when he comes. And now that's it. If you're ready to meet him, and if you're ready to die, you're ready to live. And you'll never be ready to live until you're ready to die. So he said, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh. That's our earthly father and mother. They corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, the hands that have fallen in sin, the knees that have forgotten how to kneel in prayer, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Now that's where we come in, isn't it? We're working with the lame. He said, when you make a feast, don't make it for the rich neighbor and the kin folks that's got a lot of money, because they're going to invite you over there. He said, I want you to go get the lame and the halt and the blind, and that's the people we work with. And it's so difficult when sometimes we get a blind man and said, would you like to see? And he won't believe. We get a man that needs to eat and he won't eat, and we got the food. We get a little girl, we want to help her, and she said, I don't want it. I don't need it. I'd rather have the world. And yet the world's already master almost into the grave. And so it's out of way. Every week that rolls around, the telephone, all the calls that come, we find such destitute needs and yet such blindness. You'd say, Brother Olof, why do you think you're right? I don't think I'm right. Think about what I said. I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right because it works. It's worked with me. I was a delinquent. It worked with me. It's worked with everybody. Look at the alcoholics and narcotic addicts and the delinquent girls and boys that are so happy today. I'll be standing now to perform ceremonies for two of them. I mean, the most hopeless that you could ever see in your life. And yet, you talk about happy. You talk about full of joy. You talk about living a normal life, having their own home, their own car, having everything seemed like that God wants people to have. Now, what did that? Was it my imagination? Was it some sort of spell out? Not in your life. It's the Lord Jesus. And that's all we got to present. And that's what we want you to have. And so, he said, I want you to take care of the people that are lame, those that are turned out of the way. You know what the way is, don't you? That's Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll have to say this, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather seven times, and I believe that at least 9 out of 10 of my problems, there's the one that's responsible for them out here. As I look back at my life, with its checkered past and with the tremendous opportunities, there are two things that I'm convinced about. One of them is the faithfulness of God in spite of the unfaithfulness of man. In other words, a perfect God has dealt very carefully and gently with an imperfect preacher. Strange as it may seem, God loves his children, and he loves them to the end. But I'd say this, that the problems I'm facing in the young lives, I'd say most of them stem from a lax parent, a mother and a daddy that maybe joined the church, but they never did have a Christian home. They've never known what a Christian home is. That's the reason this home seems so strange. Well, this is normal. We just have the Bible read every day and preaching, and smiling and singing, a little crying, and, you know, some weeping and loneliness. I mean, it's just normal home. And we always go every time we have church. We're always right there. We like it. We like it. And they get so excited coming home. As I've said before, they don't even want to unpack the plane before they come out here. They want to get on over here. That's where home ought to be. There's something wrong with the mother and the dad and the children when the children rather go off to some dope joint than go home and see mother and dad. Mother and dad, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with a home when a husband would rather go to a beer joint than to go and fellowship with his wife and sit around her table and eat her delightful and delectable preparations. I mean, there's something wrong with a fellow like that. You know that? There's something wrong with a woman when she'd rather go out and eat with the boss than with her husband. Did you get that? There's something wrong with a woman that'd rather put cologne and expensive perfume on her and get a fresh hairdo for her boss rather than for her. There's something wrong with that sister. And that's where we live in right now. Too many working women and too many men that don't care. They're glad for her to bring home the paycheck. And I tell you, that's not much of a man in my books unless he's too sick to work. And now then we're reaping a generation of young people that have rebelled at mother and dad. It hadn't been long since I heard a little girl with a high IQ and smart and precious, as far as I'm concerned. She looked her dad straight in the face and said, "Why? Don't you listen to this. Why do you want me to live the way you've never been willing to live? Now then, I've gotten in trouble and you want me. I mean, you're looking for an escape, see? Why do you want me to live the way you're not willing to live?" And that daddy, I imagine, thought a long time about that. You reckon why he didn't? Some preacher didn't preach like he ought to preach. And I'm going to have to put the blame where the blame ought to be. We have not preached to our people and called them to the line. We've not got them to clean their houses out like they ought to clean them out and bring the children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and we're going to pay the price. I believe it's a preacher's fault more than anything else. And I tell you, we need somehow to have a revival of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somebody said, "Well, maybe you're too serious about it." You couldn't be too serious about a man's eternal soul. You couldn't be too serious about a little girl that's about to wreck her life, wind up in suicide. They come in blood running down their arms where they're trying to kill themselves. We didn't have that when I was a kid. We didn't have wall-to-wall carpet. I mean, you've heard me say we were tickled to death when we got wall-to-wall floor. A lot of you mothers and dads, you think just because you can buy a lot of junk for your children, you're going to buy their love. It's not for sale, my bud. You can't buy a little daughter's love. Any little girl that's human had rather have a daddy to love her and a mother to love her than to buy her a new dress. She'd rather go barefooted and sit in the loving lap of precious parents than to have all the cars and all the fixtures and all the fineries of life. And the mother and daddy don't seem to care until trouble comes, and then here we come running. Oh, I tell you, when I look in the lives of these little girls right out here, I think about the price they paid because daddies didn't seem to care. Mothers and daddies, you know my big burden today, you know our big problem, it's getting the homes ready for the girls to go back to. I just got a long letter. The mother said, "I don't think she's going to make it." Listen. There's something wrong. What we've got to do is to get our homes back up to concert pitch. Mothers and daddies, you've got to quit playing church. You've got to quit substituting the Fort Worth Star Telegram and the Dallas Morning News and the Houston Chronicle and the Houston Post for the Word of God. I mean, you've got to take something besides a television set and a little rock and roll, a record on a hi-fi set, and letting them play it hour after hour. And the movie magazines, it's a make-believe world, and it's full of dope and sin and immorality. I don't care what you say, it's still wrong. Have experiences in the flesh before you're married. God's people. Oh, I said God's people need to repent. And if I could get the mothers and dads to take seriously, but they're hardened, they're case hardened, they're gospel hardened. Listen, the thing I'm talking about is just as real as my life itself, and more real than that. Let's read on. He said, "Make straight paths," not crooked paths, "make straight paths for your feet." Now, verse 14, "Follow men. Follow peace with all men." I nearly said it the way the world would have it. Follow men. Follow man, Jesus. Follow peace. You know what peace is? That's Jesus. That's the man. Follow Jesus with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Somebody asked me the other day, said, "Do you believe in holiness?" I said, "If I believe in Christ, I believe in holiness. He's holy." But the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," what? Holy, H-O-L-Y, not W-H, but H-O-L-Y. You'll never be W-H-O-L-L-Y until you're H-O-L-Y. You'll never be all there. You'll never be holy until you're holy. Never will. You'll never be whole until you're holy. Why? You say, "Brother Wolf, do you believe in living holy in order to go to heaven?" No. No, I don't believe you have to live holy to go to heaven. Watch it now. Don't let me mix you up. I don't believe you have to live holy. I couldn't live holy to go to heaven. But when Jesus saved me and I got on the road to heaven, I started living holy. I'm living holy, not in order to go to heaven, but because I'm going to heaven. And I'd rather be holy than unholy. I found a lot more joy living holy than I did when I was unholy. This same tongue that I'm talking with you right now, That tongue that has preached for 38 years, that same tongue, I'm ashamed to say, could tell smutty jokes, use profanity, I mean poke fun, laugh at the old preacher when he came through preaching the gospel. I could mock him. I used to play church. You remember that? Used to play church. Some of you girls haven't heard me. Why, when we got ready as a little old wayward sort of a monkey-faced boy, why, they said, let's play church. Of course, we didn't have a lot of the junk they got now, so we just played like, see, they said, let's play church. And of course, I knew what I might as well do, just starting looking a little dignified, because I was to be the visiting evangelist. They said, Brother Lester Roloff, will you be the preacher? And I said, amen. You know, I mean, I got real serious about it. See, I was going to be the preacher. That's right. And I never dreamed then. I'd mock every preacher. I'd mock the last preacher preached a meeting. I'd get up, I'd use my hands, my arms, I'd act, I'd holler, I'd preach, and then I'd give an invitation. And I'd tell that bunch of cousins of mine came to visit them. I said, you better get to this altar. You better get right. You! And I'd give an invitation. And boy, I'm telling you, directly here they'd come, two or three. And you notice, I mean, we's playing, see? That's sacrilegious, but I mean, that's what we did. And we was right there by the old chicken house, you know. Yeah. About the old chicken. I had a little number three tub, and that was the baptistry. I said, now then, we have a number of candidates that are going to follow the Lord in baptism and church members. And we voted them old hens, and we got them old hens out of the chicken house. And I did everything the preacher did. I'd take that old hen right down in the water, and I'd say, I baptize you. And I'd put her down on the ground and say, God bless you, sister. Now, listen to me. I don't know how many blue bugs was on her. I don't know how much, a lot of times they had sore head and everything, but it didn't do a lick of good. It didn't make her lay any more eggs. Why? It didn't let a hen any good, just put her in a tub of water. And that's about the way we're doing it today, see? We're trying to get everybody and his dog to be baptized and join the church. You better get them saved. And that's what's wrong with a lot of you. You joined the church, you got baptized or capsized, and you've been trying to live different, you know, but you can't do it till Jesus comes in your heart. You wonder why you're miserable and you run your legs off just like I did. I ran my legs off. I'd come down that old long hall at night, and I'd open the door, and my mother would say, Sonny boy, is that you? I said, yes, ma'am. Just a minute. She'd always unlock the screen. I mean, she wasn't scared. My daddy's there. I mean, he's there all the time. She wasn't scared. She just wanted to make sure of when I came in. And I guarantee it wasn't no 12, 1 o'clock in the morning either. Sure wasn't. But I tell you what, I'd walk down the hall and I got under conviction. I'd fall across my bed. In that old room by myself, them old tall ranch house walls. I'd lay there a miserable, wicked boy. I wasn't satisfied. The world had nothing could satisfy me. I longed for the world. I wanted the world because I was worldly. But I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy. Oh, and I'd go to sleep, and then I'd start having nightmares. I've had nightmares 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, never sleep another wink until daylight, and get up and drag out to the field the next day and try to put in a day's work. I could hardly make it through the day. But I tell you, one night, when Jesus laid his majestic hand on my poor, ignorant head and shoulder, said, I want you to preach. Like scared me to death. I mean, I was just as rebellious as some of you, except I scared not. I thought I was dying. I turned as white as a sheet I was covered with. My mother said, Sonny boy, you're sick. I said, yes, ma'am. She run down that old hall to call the doctor, and you heard me say, I said, don't call the doctor. That's not the doctor I need tonight. I mean, just a little old ignorant boy, you know, just getting grown. I said, don't call Dr. Hill. He can't help me tonight. He's helped me a lot of time, but not this time. And I want you to know, I looked up toward the great physician. I mean, I just said, Lord, if you call me to preach and let me live and see the sun come up in the morning, it'll come up on a preacher boy. And I'll guarantee you, he rocked me to sleep in the next 10 minutes, and I sound sleep. I didn't wake up another time, had no nightmares, woke up at 8 o'clock the next morning. And you know me, I never would sleep that late. Woke up and my mother was humming the sweet old church tunes in the kitchen. And the Lord said, what'd you tell me last night? And I said, what I'm fixing to tell you this morning. I'll preach the rest of my life. I'll never doubt you. And nobody will ever accuse me of being a preacher, but God being my helper, I haven't got a lick of money in the world. I took that little old Jersey cow and loaded her in that little old trailer and hauled her off to Baylor University and milked my way through school. Don't you tell me God's not real. You girls have been blinded. You boys have been blinded. I mean, you've not met anything real. That's the reason you try to take dope and acid and all that kind of junk. You want to float away, but you got to come back directly. I said, you got to come back. I've been floating for 38 years. I mean, it's the greatest float you've ever been on, too. I'm asking you to get something real in your heart. Don't let the devil deceive you and wreck you, drag you to hell, and then laugh at you through an eternity for being such a stupid idiot. Why don't you open up your eyes and say, Lord, if it's real, show it to me. Would you let me tell you an experience? I don't know when I thought of this. I was in Baylor University. An old boy came. His name was Trumbull. Trumbull. He came to Baylor University. You know what he came to Baylor for? That is 1937 or 38. You know why I came to Baylor? I can see him now. I had a little sharp mustache and brilliant, one of these little pairs of fox eyes, you know. I mean, he was smart as a whip, had a high IQ. He came there to set up an infidel ring on Baylor's campus. I mean, he came there to organize against God and disprove the gospel and disprove everything that the preachers, that is back when God has turned out preachers through old Baylor. Preachers that loved God, had conviction. Old Dr. B.O. Herring, Dr. J.B. Tidwell, the Bible department head, and the things that they taught us. And my, listen, there's nobody allowed to come on Baylor campus with a cigarette in their hand. That's right. I was in a school the other day where they expelled a number of boys. Said never to come back. I was in the Baylor chapel one day when Dr. Patty M. Neff, President Patty M. Neff, said there's seven boys to be expelled. And he called their names and said, arise. And those boys, as white as sheets, stood up like dead men and said, march out of this congregation and out of this chapel. Never to return at my recommendation. You're through here smoking cigarettes. Now then, look at it. I said, just look at it now. This boy came there. His name was Arthur Trumbull. We had what we called a prayer meeting. I mean, old Jack Selcraig and I, we'd meet in the stadium at night, at 11 o'clock at night, after we'd gotten through studying, and then we'd meet many times over at what we called the parsonage. Mr. and Ms. Parsons had a boarding house, and we called it the parsonage. And we'd stay over, we'd pray. So we got a burden for Arthur, and that band of infidels had moved in. And we prayed for him, and prayed for him, and prayed for him. And one night, in Seventh and James Church, when old Dr. W.W. Melton was the pastor there, one that ordained me to preach, and we looked back there in the way back of the big auditorium, and you who walked in? Old Arthur Trumbull. I mean, he came in to investigate our liberty and to see if there's anything, and what is going on, see? When the service was over, he walked down after everybody had sort of fired. He walked down and saw Dr. W.W. Melton and said, Dr. Melton, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there is a God. And Dr. Melton looked at him and said, I don't have time to argue with you. I know there's a God. I wouldn't waste my time arguing with people. When you know you're right, you don't have to argue about it. Just say it and let her go. Don't waste my time arguing about a bunch of junk that's not so. I've had Jesus in the test tube for 38 years, and he works every time. The Bible is so, whether you ever believe it or not. I don't care what these stinking modernists and infidels say. Our school system has corrupted our whole nation. Turned out preachers that don't have enough faith by which to live. That's the only thing they know how to do, is subscribe the budget and get the retirement plan set up and never live by faith. Miss the joy of living. Dr. Melton looked at him very stern. He said, go home and pray this prayer. Oh God, if there is a God, reveal thyself to me. Pray that for a week and come back. Every day pray it, he said. Next Sunday night, old Arthur Trumbull came back in the church. Boy, we was all watching. Boys, preacher boys, we've been praying for him. Oh, listen, we was encouraged. We thought surely the Lord would deal with him. And because at least he's back and he'll hear the gospel again tonight. Old Dr. Melton got up and preached again. Down the aisle after the service, not during invitation. No, not old Arthur Trumbull. Proud, smart, intelligent fellow. Had all the answers, you see. He came down. Dr. Melton said, I recognize you. Did you pray? He said, yeah, nothing happened. Nothing to it. I prayed every day, oh God, there's a God revealed thyself to me. He said, just go pray it again. And said, see if you can get sincere about it. I mean, just go ahead and pray it again. You don't know how it came out? Arthur Trumbull got saved by the grace of God and became the president of our big Bible class. You will get saved when you get to where you want to get saved, especially when you hear the gospel preached. I'm sorry to say it. I really am. Many of the churches are very sorry places to go to get saved. Many of them never give an invitation. Many of them never tell you Jesus died and rose again. And so how in the world could you get saved? If you want people saved, preach the Savior. If you want people to get right with Jesus, tell them about him. And that's what we want to do here. We want you girls to fall in love with a wonderful Savior. Let me read on. Follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, that's one of the warnings I'll have to give. It really is. Did you know how I can tell that an alcoholic's fixing to go to drinking? He gets bitter and critical. Nearly every time. And you know how I know that one of our girls is going to miss the victory? She gets critical. She gets bitter. She can't get along. She doesn't like anything's going on. The food's no good and the people are no good. And y'all are, you know, and she's getting ready for real defeat. And that's true. Lest there be found in you a root of bitterness. Oh, you'd say, and listen, one of the ways the devil will defeat you, you get bitter at your mother. You get bitter at your dad. You really will. You'll hate your mother. I've had young people to say, I hate my mother. I hate my dad. But when you get saved, have you noticed how much they love them? My, the love letters have gone out of this home, see, that have gone out of this home since people got saved.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.